Welcome to Lift. This is season 7 of this podcast, where this season we're going to be talking still about faith in life, but we're going to be asking questions about faith. We're going to start this season asking about Lent and the season of Lent as Christians. Why do we celebrate it? What is it? And why does it matter to me? I'm hoping that you will find new insights into Lent, Holy Week, and Easter. Then we're going to continue to ask questions about faith, questions that you probably have that maybe you've just never asked, maybe questions your kid have asked you that you don't quite know how to respond. We're going to dive into those and see what it can mean for us and how asking questions can help us connect to our faith. Well, welcome back to Lift. You are listening to Kim and Winston. Dun, dun, dun. Hey, Winston, people like want to get to know you.
No.
Yeah, we should have like a meet and greet. Come meet Winston. Everybody's like, who is this dude?
They're going to be very, very disappointed.
No. No. Okay, so this one, you have been holding on to this question.
Yep.
I don't really know too much about what you're going to ask me.
Okay.
So go.
So this cool one spawned from our conversation about prayer. And so you gave a really cool statement about that you pray for your future, basically, daughter-in-law.
Yep. Well, I learned it from a friend of mine. I pray for my children's spouse since they were probably in high school.
Really?
I don't know who this person is.
Right.
Listen, I have a great marriage, and I know that's unique.
Right.
And I trust and love my husband deeply. And I want that for my kids. And so I pray for that said person, I don't know, not every day, but often, that they're somebody who elevates my boys' lives, makes them better, pushes them, loves them, puts them in their place, like all the good things. My marriage is not perfect. Like there is no such thing.
Right.
But Dan makes me better. Dan makes me humble, but I also can laugh with him like nobody else, and I trust him like no, you know, he's kind of my rock, and so I want that for my kids. So I started praying for their spouse probably when they were in high school.
Yeah, that's great. I've never heard anything like that, so I thought that was really intriguing. So then that brought me to today's question, which is what keeps you up at night as a pastor and as like a mother?
Oh, geez.
That's a loaded question, right?
Okay. As a mother.
Oh. Well, I mean.
It's my family, right? What keeps me up at night is not being able to control everything my kids do. Because I shouldn't, and I don't want to.
Okay.
And so there was one time my boys and husband were out of town for the weekend. Okay. Dan's family has some land in Oklahoma, so they were out being men. And I left the garage door open in my neighborhood. Have I told you this story?
Yes.
Okay. This is my greatest fear, though, except for it turned out fine. At 3 o'clock in the morning, my doorbell rings. There's a police officer at my doorbell, and I thought, oh, my gosh. I think everything just rushed out of my body. I have gotten phone calls from church members here who had a police at their door, and it was not good. This was to let me know that I didn't close the garage door, and I should probably do that to be safe.
And I should probably move to your neighborhood.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, I recognize the, like, ridiculousness in this. But she drove down the alley, wanted to let me know, and so, but that is my fear. Something happening to my husband, something happening to my kids that's tragic. That's what keeps me up at night as a mom.
That's like the human side of you, right? Because
I mean, all of me's human, Winston.
I know, but you know, like,
there's no divinity here.
So in those moments, do you pray for like some peace so that it doesn't keep you up? Like, you know what I'm saying? Do you?
Yeah, I can't live in. I can't worry about what isn't.
Right.
I can only worry about what is. Mm-hmm. My life verse is Philippians 4:4. May the peace of God surpass all understanding. Guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So Philippians 4:4, guarding your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That surpassing all understanding. I've talked about peace before and how it comes from God, but I lean into that peace of God that I can't get, I can't understand, and it's not mine. It's God's that I get to, maybe the word's borrow. I like the word adopt better. I get to then take it on as my own. If I were to do life without faith, I would just, I'm such a control freak. Like, faith makes me let go of things.
Right.
And so I don't over worry about my kids anymore. I used to. I don't at this point. Our older son jokes that we don't parent our younger son anymore. But really, I think in some of that, I've learned to start letting them go just a minute earlier, like, and let them be who they are and let them make decisions. And, you know,
right.
Like, he's going to go away next year. Like, let's, yeah, you can make dinner. Or I'm not in, I mean, this was my line, though, their whole schooling is, I'm not in first grade. You are. Figure it out. Like, I've already done first grade.
I'm not in first grade. Figure it out.
Yeah.
As they're crying, not understanding probably, what to do.
I mean, I'm a little more compassionate than that, Winston. But I think that's it. I think the fear of death or the fear of harm to my family is like my greatest fear.
Now, as they got older and started driving, you know, now they're out in front. I'm going to say to that, did
the first time your kid drives away in a car, a part of your soul is released into the universe that you never get back. Now, I will also say, you get over that, and then you send them to the grocery store to get things for you, right?
Right.
But, like, when my kids are on the road, if they're driving to and from school, I pray a lot in those moments.
Yeah.
When they're going on mission trip or Camp Impact, like, that road time is, let's get you there. Then we'll start worrying about what's next. But, like, I mean, this spring break, our oldest decided to come home, and he got home at, like, 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I went to bed around 11, and my husband stayed up. And I really wasn't asleep, though. Like, I heard the beep, 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 beep of the front door, and I was like, okay, now I can sleep. Where I don't really watch him on, like, the app when he's at school, because that's not good for my soul. But I don't know. And then as a pastor, what keeps me up at night as a pastor?
Yeah.
Okay. There's like, I kind of wear like 3 hats as a pastor here, or 15, but I'll focus on 3. As a manager and a supervisor of groups of people.
Right.
That's a section that keeps me up at night. As a leader of this particular congregation, that keeps me up at night. And then just in general, as a pastor, that keeps me up at night. Which one do you want to go to?
I want to go with the third one first. So in general, as a pastor.
Why in the world did God call me to do this and don't screw it up?
Really?
Oh, daily.
So explain. So when you say don't screw it up, do you mean like your sermons on, like, just your whole teachings in the
everything.
In general?
Okay. Everything. I think, as we should be, pastors are held to higher standards.
Right.
And I'm a very broken, humbled servant leader that's very human. I worry about things that I might say that could affect somebody's faith life. I worry about actions that I could do. I constantly lean into God's grace about how to do it well and not make it about me. Anybody that compliments a sermon I did or something they wrote or the podcast that they're listening to, I'm like, I'm so glad, but that's not me.
Right.
That's God. Like, if something connected to you in a sermon in a deep and profound way, that has nothing to do with me. That right. has to do with God. If I start thinking it has to do with me, I'm going to become this egotistical, right? This is me leaning into God's grace. So, yeah. I mean, I ran away from my call of ministry for a minute.
Yeah. I definitely want to talk about that, too.
Yeah. It's going to be like Kim Myers Therapy 101. But And mainly it was accepting that God would call somebody like me into ministry. And when I say like me, there is no perfect pastor, there is no right, but I think I myself had put pastors on pedestals for too long and not seen the humanity within them, or I had the opposite. I only saw the humanity in pastors and things that they had done that were publicly wrong, and you know, I didn't want to do either one of those things. So I think that what keeps me up at night is leaning into the faith fully, letting go of my brokenness so that God can fill the spaces with goodness and grace and love and mercy. So that's the number. It's not number three on my list. Yeah. That's the third category of pastorism.
Do you think when you started down this road to become a pastor and you started learning and being around, I guess, more people were probably taking that path with you. Did y'all have conversations about like the humanity part of it? Like, did it help you as you started understanding, oh, he's like, these people are not on this high pedestal. They are just someone like me trying to.
I mean, I've met some really great people and some really frightening people. But I do think, recognizing that. And then also pastoring, I'll kind of weave into number two. Okay. Pastoring a community like St. Andrew, it's a big responsibility, and I've grown in my responsibility since I've been here. I've changed different jobs and that kind of stuff, and I feel the weight of don't screw it up because we're doing some really cool things. But anytime I really start getting over anxious about don't screw it up, I hear this like tap, tap, tap on my shoulder of the Holy Spirit, and it's not don't screw it up, it's get out of the way. Don't get in the way. Like, okay. I got this. Like, just keep shepherding people, keep moving forward, like, you know. And so it's that balance of being a good leader and a good faith advocate and being available for the congregation in ways that – so they can have questions. And it's don't screw it up. That's my other fear. Don't screw it up.
But if sometimes you hear, like, that calling saying, just get out of the way, does that mean, like, basically you can't screw it up because this is
I could screw it up. Like,
but
have you met me? Like, this is a large congregation, right? This is a large business model. I mean, my budget that I work with is large, right? Like, be a good steward of the church's money. Be a good steward of the church's time. Be a good steward of how you proclaim the gospel or how you lead the services and pay attention.
Yeah.
Because, you've heard stories of pastors screwing it up.
Yeah.
You know? And so, I mean, I feel like if I lean into the Holy Spirit, it's better.
Yeah.
Could my humanity still
screw it up?
Screw it up, yeah, sure. Which is kind of what keeps me up at night.
And do you hope, like you talked about before, that you had to have that community that, you know, you surround yourself with that can keep you on your course along with your gut?
Yes. Yeah. Well, and like this Easter, we had that sermon series, High Expectations, High Grace.
Yep.
And one of the sermons that I ended up preaching on was Take Up Thy Cross, which is not like a kind of a high church sermon for me. And it was actually like living the cruciform life. Like, I don't talk like that, right? But cruciform just means cross. And as I was thinking about it and how to teach it, and again, here you're teaching and preaching to people of all different faiths, even like levels of faith, people who've grown up in the church, people who haven't grown up in the church, people who grew up in a different church setting. Sometimes I can overthink a sermon in like, 1,000 different ways because I want it to hit people, but that's where I have to get out of the way.
Right.
And I just have to look at the message that we're trying to proclaim as a church. And this was let go of your stuff, your sin, you know, whatever that is for you. And so you can pick up the cross. We think that the cross is going to be so heavy and so burdensome, but when you let go of your humanity, the cross is actually lighter than all that stuff that we put on our shoulders, right? It's kind of that, the pressure that I can overthink about leading this congregation and helping Arthur to do the best that he can do here and, like, don't screw it up. And that weight is heavy. Right. It's too much. When I lean into the Holy Spirit, it's still some days too much. But it's no longer burdensome and heavy. It's exciting and ambitious.
Okay.
So there's that. What was the other one that I said? Oh.
Your team? Yeah.
I mean, I just lead. I have like four teams that I lead. And each one is very specific in their personalities. I want to be a good advocate for them. I want to help them go to the next place. We do have high expectations here, but we do also have high grace. But, like, balancing that as a manager who also happens to be a pastor, I pray for all of the people on my teams and their families that what they're doing brings them joy. And, I mean, not every day is going to be a good day, but I want this to be a place that they want to come to more than they don't.
And see, that's completely like, you know, me and my background from corporate America before coming here. Like, I would never hear, like, thinking about a leader or, you know, a manager, thinking that way about someone sounds insane to me, right? Like,
does it really?
Oh, yeah. That sounds horrible, but.
Like, really?
Yes. I don't. Yeah. Yes.
You don't think about your employees and their family and their kids and their lifestyle?
Me personally, yes.
Okay.
I'm saying I've definitely been led by people who did not. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that this place fulfills so many lives, both with a paycheck and with a spiritual paycheck, that we've got to do it well and we've got to do it right.
Yeah, and that's why I think this has been the most fun. I've only been here 8 months, but I said this is, out of all my career, this has been the most fun 8 months I've had. I mean, like,
it's, we are fun, aren't we?
You're fun, but yeah, like the whole grace thing, like the whole high expectations, high grace, I think is, I think when people get like a taste of that, if they could get a taste of it, that they would just, like, just.
Why did you ask me what keeps me up at night? What's the faith base in that?
Because I guess it's wondering, like, when people have worry, when people have things they're concerned about, how do you, should you, not should you, because you're human, so I already know you're going to tell me that. Like, but how do you, yeah, how do you put your mind at ease? I mean,
sometimes. Well, why do you think the scriptures talk about worry and fear and what to do with it?
Do they?
Yeah.
Well, give me one of what's.
I mean, Philippians right there is do not worry about anything, but everything give it to God, right? That's just one of them. There's tons, and don't make me quote scripture. But it's because we worry.
Yeah.
And that worry can consume us so we can't see anything else. And if all we're doing is worrying, now there's a difference between like medically diagnosed anxiety and worrying. I want to name that, right? Okay. I'm talking about worry. That it can consume you.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the whole thing about do not worry, but give everything to me. Mm. Right? Rejoice in the Lord always. And I'm like, I don't feel like rejoicing today, God. Like, but that's the point, is rejoice not in what is happening to you, but that there is God. I can rejoice that there is God every day. I can't feel full of rejoice every day.
Well, you can. I mean,
you could. I can't. I know me. Like, I have good days and bad days. I try not to let those things consume me. And when I feel like it's creating a dark veil in my life, I really do try to lean in to those scriptures that remind us how to not worry. How to. And it all just points back. It points back again and again. Connecting us to God, connecting us to our faith, connecting us to remember who we're supposed to be.
And you find yourself being able to do that. I mean, we've talked about this a little bit before, but like even in those lowest, darkest moments, that's when you got to really lean into it, right? But
well, I mean, yes, and I'll say, I mean, there have been deep, dark moments in my life where my prayer to God was, I got nothing. I mean, for like, I've
my
got.
My cup is empty.
Yes, I have got nothing. I need you to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to pray to you because I know I need to, but I got nothing.
Right.
There are times where I lean into scripture and prayer. I just think when we read things in scripture, you can still apply them to today.
Right.
It's because it's a human condition. Like, it was written for all of us, not just for you or for me or for our neighbors, but like we all go through these complex emotions of life all the time. And frankly, I would rather have a life with love so deep I worry about it, with a job that I care so much about I worry about getting it wrong, than a life where I'm like, I don't care. Right? As much as it annoyed me as a teenager, my parents cared a lot about what I was doing, as they should have. I used to be somewhat envious of some of my friends whose parents just let them do whatever and did. I now recognize the goodness in the attentiveness to my destructive behavior. I think also the attentiveness to our own destructive behavior, whether it's worry or fear or pride or, I don't know, envy. We gotta lean back into what makes us better, not what makes us worse. For me, it's faith. It's reminding that God's with us, that God is consistent. I might be all over the place, but God's love is consistent. And so that's why I don't stay up worried about these things that, quote unquote, keep me up at night. There are times I do. Like, there are times I do. And my grandma used to say, if you wake up at 2 a.m, God wants to say something, pay attention. And so I'll do that for a minute, and then I'm like, nah, I'm going to bed. But I try not to lean into those fears as my priority. I try to lean into – it's why I have those family rules.
What family rules?
You've never heard my family rules?
No.
Rule number one. As they were little, I said, make good choices. When they became a teenager, I said, don't be stupid. All right? Yeah. So rule number one is just like we know right from wrong. Do right. Do right. Rule number two, remember whose you are.
You said whose you
whose.
Are.
Whose.
Okay.
That's it. Which means a child of God.
Okay.
And so when my children leave my sight, I say those things to them, both for them and for me.
That's a good one.
Because then I'm going to be like, what rule did you break? They're like, both, both. Usually it's both. But I'll tell you, it makes my mama's heart warm. I wrote it on my son's whiteboard in college, and it's still there.
Still there.
Still there. Because it centers us as a family of, like, we know right, we know wrong, do right.
Right.
And that remember whose you are piece is a big one. It reminds them that they're perfectly created in the image of God. It reminds them that their professor that's driving them crazy and they have no connection with is created perfectly in the image of God, right? Like, if we are reminded that we are God's children, that means our neighbors are God's children. That means we should see the world in a different way.
Perspective.
And as a mama, they're not mine. They are God's that I get the privilege of doing life with. And so it's easier for me to let them go in the world when I realize, first and foremost, they are a child of God.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. I'm not there yet with that one, parenting wise. Yeah, no, but yeah.
Okay, do a summary. What did we learn today?
We learned that you don't stay up at night worrying.
No, I sleep. I sleep.
Worrying is okay. It's, you know, everyone's going to have a little bit of worry because we're all human. Let's see what else we learned. You shouldn't, though.
No.
Well,
just don't let it consume
you.
We're all going to worry.
Right.
Like, that's, I don't want people to feel shame because they're worrying about something. Like, that's a normal reaction.
Right.
But don't let it consume you.
Don't let it consume you. God. Even, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, do you have worry that consumes you?
Define? No, I wouldn't say consume. Well, yeah. My mind runs a lot. So, yeah.
I know the answer. I was going to see if you're going to be honest with us.
Yeah. Yes, I would say that. Yeah. Okay, I'll give you that one. Sure.
Do you think if you lean into scripture for a minute, it would help? Or do you think that's a bunch of mumbo jumbo?
I don't think it's a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I think there's a fine line between leaning in scripture and then not having like an action plan.
You know, the word prayer is action.
Really?
Or waiting is an action.
Okay. Could say that.
Prayer is not submissive. It's active.
Okay.
there's that whole silly story, and then we'll close up. But you know that story of somebody's praying to God during this big flood, and, right? And yeah. God sends a boat, and he's like, no, I'm good. God's going to save me. And God's up in heaven like, come on, I just sent you a boat. Right. So then he gets on the roof, and sends him a helicopter, and he's like, no, I'm good. God's going to save me. And God's like, I'm trying.
Right.
It's active,
right?
Like, it's not, and it's also not a butler. It doesn't mean we're going to get, I've talked about that. It's not the elf on the shelf God or the butler God or the genie God. It's a true relationship of love and somebody who loves us enough that gives us the opportunity for choice, which means sin is a part of this world.
Right.
Dun, dun, dun. That's a really sad way to end. We got to find a better way.
Oh, okay. I got a better way. This is going to be random.
All right.
Teared up on the couch the other day. You won't believe why.
You cried.
Teared a tiny bit.
Okay. Why?
Because of the Oscars. There was, I forget her name, but she won and she was giving her speech. And you could tell genuinely that it meant so much to her. that she really, really wanted that. And it really was something big in her. And I was just like, I don't know. I always love tales of
being proud of others is awesome. I mean, even when you don't know them.
Yeah.
Okay, good deal. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're going to talk about how you landed to where you are.
My calling story?
Yeah.
Do you want people to listen? Okay, we'll talk about it next week. See you all next week. I hope that you found one thing that you can connect with this week to help build your daily faith life. If you'd like, you can join us on our Facebook community, Practical Faith, for weekly prayers, questions, and most weeks a 10-minute devotion. I also invite you to check out St. Andrew's website, standrewmethodist.org. Connect with us through different podcasts, online for worship, or come join us. We're always here to connect your life to your faith.